Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, everybody? You are listening to the voice of the KDOM, that's King of DC Media, the undisputed, the undefeated, the man, the myth, the legend, otherwise known as Will the Producer, otherwise known as Will the Actor, otherwise known as Will the Writer. Let's just call me your gracious host, Mr. William D. Powell Jr. Welcome to episode number 49 of Inside Acting. It's a beautiful night. Tonight, I welcome back my buddy Gabriel Voss, a lawyer turned actor. And he was last on the show in April 2012. And he's a very interesting guest. He's got a lot of interesting information to share with us tonight. And I'm just waiting for him to call in. And while we are waiting, I'm going to pop on over here to his IMDb page and see what he's got here. But I see that he's called in. So let's find out what's going on out there in L.A. And let me just bring him on in. Hey, Gabriel, what's going on, man?
Hey, William, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. How are you handling all that traffic and smog out there in L.A.?
I'm breathing the smog in every day like the other millions of us who live out here. And the traffic, you know, you just got to woosaw it through.
I heard that. Well, man, it's been 8 months since I had you on the show. What you been doing since then?
I've been doing a lot. I'm sitting in my car outside of set. We just wrapped shooting on this new series I started. But I'll get to that later. Last week I worked 3 days on How I Met Your Mother. I was a Canadian Mountie. That was a lot of fun. It'll be in an episode that airs the Monday after the Super Bowl. My own web series, Shut Your Mouth, we finished all the episodes for season one. That stuff should be out in the next 2 weeks or so. Very happy with that. This sci-fi dramedy series that I'm working on is called Retcon. Today was the first day of filming. We're filming the next 5 days to get the pilot out. And then I've done one of two shoot days on a fan film for the video game Fallout New Vegas. So I'm excited about wrapping that up next weekend.
Well, you've been busy. That's good.
Yeah,
busy's a good thing.
Amen.
Tell me more about Shut Your Mouth.
So Shut Your Mouth is a 70s style web series. My two male roommates and I created it. We all sort of wrote and produced it together. It follows Detective Dick Grizzle, who is basically 90% Dirty Harry and 10% Ron Burgundy. He lives present day, but he thinks the 70s was the best era ever, so he still dresses like the 70s. He still drives a 70s car, behaves like he's in the 70s, and he kicks a lot of ass right up until the end of each show, in which the Ron Burgundy part of him kicks in and he kind of screws things up. But it's a lot of fun.
So Vic Grizzle, I love that name. Who came up with that name, man?
That was the director, Andrew Parkhurst. He's one of the writers and creator of the show. He DP'd the show. He's editing it, and he's also the director. Like, he is the creative force behind it and the reason that it looks, that it has the quality look that it does. But he and my friend Will Wallace and I were sitting around talking about it, and we were trying to figure out names for this guy, and that just sort of popped out there. It's perfect.
So did you put a lot of money into it?
This is what you call a good old-fashioned no-budget shoot. The money all actually went into costumes and props. Well, the main costume for Grizzle, and then the gun that he uses and the props that he uses. You know, we spend probably a couple hundred bucks total on that stuff, but really for the way it looks, it legitimately looks like a 70s film. We came out, you know, way far ahead in terms of what we had to spend to get that.
I've seen a lot of the production skills. They look pretty impressive. I mean, you get the leather jacket, the brown leather jacket, and you're sitting there looking like Steve McQueen and the whole thing. It looks very impressive. Impressive. It's, I like it.
Yeah, the trailer's up on our Facebook page. It's Facebook/SYMouth for Shut Your Mouth, and you can find it on there. It'll give you a sense of the show and the quality of the production. And I hope we'll be able to release the episodes for season one in the next 2 weeks. So it's a lot of people are anticipating it. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, how long is each episode?
They're really short. They're like 2.5 to 3 minutes. And each one opens with a produced open, which is a bunch of 70s montage shots, a lot of zoom focus. It's a real grainy picture. And you'll see me as Dick Grizzle doing all sorts of ridiculous things, from karate chops and kicks to hard stares and, you know, pulling the glasses off like David Caruso.
I can
imagine.
So how long
it was
does
a lot
take
of fun.
How long did it take to film each episode?
We usually do each episode in a weekend. This last episode we were able to finish in one day. And the montage shots we did over a period of about 6 separate weekends, because we went all over the place. We were down in Santa Monica at the beach. We were up in Malibu at the beach. We were downtown L.A., up in the valley, like all over, getting just, you know, a bunch of different backgrounds and whatnot. But for each episode, it doesn't take quite that much work. We kind of pick one location and stick to it, just for budgetary reasons and for time constraints.
So now I'm curious as to what's the best way to use a web series to further your career. Is this something that's just like a kind of a practice training thing, or is it something that's going to be like a calling card for you?
That's a great question. There's a couple of different ways to use a web series to further your career. You know, some people build a web series from the ground up to try and monetize it. They have an eye towards getting the most views and getting ad revenue, perhaps doing some product placement in it. That's not what we're doing with Shut Your Mouth. The goal there was to put together something fun, something that the three of us wanted to work on, but also a calling card, like you said, for us, because the quality of this production is far superior to the money we spent. It looks like we spent so much more than we had to. But it also shows that we're real serious about what we do. From the actors we use to the, you know, production design, everything that went into that shows that we are serious filmmakers and serious actors. And, you know, because it's online, that's something I can send anyone a clip of and say, here, take 2 minutes of your time, you know, see what I can do. Andrew, the director, can do the same thing. Here, take 2 minutes of your time and see what I can do. And we shot it on a Canon 7D, a DSLR camera. So, you know, if he can do that with a digital camera, then, you know, what can he do with, you know, an Alexa?
That's what's up. That's what's up. So tell me about, you played a Canadian Mountie. Tell me a little bit more about that.
I can't say much about that episode because it hasn't aired yet. Right? I've learned the art of...
You're getting famous, man. You're getting famous on me here.
It was a lot of fun, I can tell you that. I had a neck ache the day afterwards from doing a lot of jumping around, but I probably shouldn't say more than that.
Okay. Yeah, you're getting up there where you got to deal with non-disclosure agreements and the whole thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, that leads us to this Now, how much can you say about this science fiction dramedy series you're working on?
I can say more. I cleared some stuff before this interview to make sure I didn't step on any toes.
Oh, that makes me feel so special. Thank you.
Just for you, William. Just for
thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's called RETCON, and that stands for Reconnaissance Espionage Tactical Contingency. RETCON is basically a shadowy agency of the government, and the series follows an analyst who's kind of a bumbling analyst who, through a series of events, gets promoted to a field agent. The writer-director plays the main character, Mila Yamamoto, and, you know, she never intended to be a field agent out there, you know, fighting and shooting and doing the real spy stuff, but she has to sort of step up for the company, and she does. And, Mila has compared it to Bridget Jones meets Alias.
Hmm.
In the show, I play the quirky, weird lab researcher named Clark. So he's kind of like the lab tech from Alias, obviously a little bit different. His job is that of Q and James Bond, and he has some of the weird qualities that Luna Lovegood from the Harry Potter films has. You know, there's sort of an ethereal and odd quality about him. But it's totally against type for me, so I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, because I'm thinking you're the guy with the laser gun, the guy jumping through walls and shooting aliens and jumping out of spaceships and the whole deal.
No, those roles go to – so the other reason I'm pretty excited about this is there's some people with some notoriety involved. Probably the biggest name is Sean Marr, who played the doctor in Joss Whedon's show The Firefly.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen it, but a lot of people have seen that show. It's sort of the thing that put Whedon on the map. So we'll have Sean on the show, and he's one of the guys that does all of that sort of thing. We also have Yuri Lowenthal, who has over 300 credits as a voice actor. Most notably, he's the main voice for the Ben 10 cartoons. He's also voiced some characters in Metal Gear video games, some stuff for Black Ops 2. If you go into his IMDb, you can just scroll for days through all the stuff he's done. So he's involved. Today on the shoot, we had Johnny Juan Bosch, who's the second Black Power Ranger. He wasn't the first Black Power Ranger, but he was in there at second, had a long run at that position, and, you know, everyone knows who the Power Rangers are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, and the writer-director, Mila Yamamoto, does a lot of anime voiceover stuff, and she knows these other guys from conventions, both domestically and around the world. And, each of these people sort of have their own following, so we anticipate the show having these people's followers check into it. It's a really well-written show. It's really strong. And we think that it'll be something that crowd is really interested in. Sort of the geek, anime, sci-fi genre is where we live.
Yeah, that sounds like you guys are going to be popular at Comic-Con for years to come if this is a big success.
That's the plan. And they've got it's half-hour television format. They've got about 13 episodes per season and 5 seasons planned out. And we're shooting the pilot now, and we're going to shop that around. Even if it doesn't get picked up on a cable outlet, they have a plan for distributing it online as a digital series. And, we have a couple of sponsors, large international companies that we're talking to sponsor it. So things are looking really good. I'm really excited about it.
That's very impressive. That's very, very impressive. Now, you seem to get cast a lot as jocks and football players and all that kind of deal. Have you been doing a lot of those kind of roles lately?
Well, William, we all have a type, and that's kind of when people look at me, apparently that's what they think of. I've done a lot of football roles, a lot of sports roles. I get a lot of law enforcement, cops, soldiers, that sort of thing. But, you know, I can do other stuff, like retcon. I can be the weird lab guy who, you know, people think might not be quite right, but or not quite right in the head, but are a nice guy. And I'm not, you know, I'm not pulling out the gun or throwing the football on that.
Well, you got to have that range. Otherwise, you'd just be typecast.
Right. And, you know, and typecast is not a bad thing in Hollywood. You know, if I can be known as the quarterback, then that's great. But as an actor, you like to, you know, exercise the other parts of your acting muscles. So, you know, you take all the opportunities you can to do different types of roles. But, you know, I would not be at all unhappy if I started to get known as the cop or the quarterback. Or, you know, if it turns out to be weird lab researcher, I can do that too. I don't mind being typecast that way.
The main thing is to get the steady work. That's what it comes down to.
Exactly. And that opens up so many opportunities to do other stuff.
That's right. So now let's take a step back to training. Have you continued your training?
My training continues to be practical, which means it's on set. There's two main reasons for that. I think training is super important. The first reason I'm not in a class at the moment is, you know, I'm saving money for new headshots, and we all know that those can be pretty expensive, especially out here. But you know, you got to get the good ones, and they're pretty expensive. But also, my schedule is pretty crazy these days, and it's really hard for me to commit to you know, a weekly class at a particular time because, you know, today, for example, I'm shooting until 7 o'clock at night, and if I had a class that started at 7, I'd be late because, you know, the L.A. traffic. So, you know, even if I'd signed up for a class, I'm not sure I could take full advantage of it at this time. But, you know, I do continue to learn and grow as an actor on every set that I'm on, so.
Now, let's take a step back. Now, I know last year you told a very inspiring story about how you left the field of the law. You were a lawyer. You said that when you quit your job, and you said it was the scariest day of your life, but you couldn't stop smiling.
Yes.
And I thought I was very inspired by that. That was really something else. So now let's play a little game. If you had not leapt into full-time acting, what would you be doing now? But if you were back here in the Baltimore area.
I would not be smiling, which is what I'm doing right now.
Okay.
I am 98% sure that I would still be at the law firm sitting behind my desk. It's, what, 10 o'clock on the East Coast, so there's a good chance I'd still be in my office reviewing a 80-page contract. And, you know, not nearly as excited about the possibilities as I am now.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. You definitely would not be smiling.
Yeah, and it, you know, I don't mean to disparage, you know, that kind of work, certainly being a lawyer. It just, I know it wasn't for me, and I was an unhappy person doing that, whereas now I'm a very happy person doing what I'm doing.
So now you've been out in L.A. now, what, a year and a half, so you're a bit of a veteran now. So, like, any advice on taking that leap?
Yeah, it's funny you say veteran because there really is, like, people say you have to be in L.A. for at least a year before you can really get traction or before, you know, people will take you seriously. And I think because so many people come here for a few months at a time, it's not until you're here for more than a year that you stick in people's heads and they're like, oh, you are here and you're going to be here for the long run. But, you know, in terms of taking that leap to come out here, I think, or, you know, New York or any other market, or to leave your day job like I did to pursue this or anything you're passionate about, is you really have to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest about what resources you have, You know, where are your finances? Can you afford to not make money for a little while? Because, you know, and as an actor and most other arts professions, you gotta take a financial hit for a while. You have to be honest with yourself about your drive to succeed. You know, it's not a passive field to be in, just like any business. You gotta work at it every day. And you have to be honest with yourself about why you're making this leap. If you're just trying to do it because of the draw of fame and fortune, you should probably think twice about that, because you're probably doing it for the wrong reasons. You know, fame and fortune appeal to everyone, but that's not what this is about. If you love the grunt work of acting, which is what made the decision for me, you know, most of what I do is not being in front of a camera. It's going to networking events. It's learning my lines. It's going to auditions. It's submitting myself. You know, it's sending emails, doing script analysis, doing classes. All of that stuff is what it means to be an actor, and none of that stuff has to do with you being in front of the camera actually performing. But if you can do those things and you can still smile when doing those things, then you're probably in the right place.
You know, it comes down to what you want to spend your life doing. I mean, to hear you talk, it's sort of like you compare it even to being like a professional athlete, for example. All the practice that you got to go through, and the film study, video study, the whole thing. So I guess it comes
exactly
down to, yeah, you'd rather be, you know, which would you rather spend, which, if it's 10 o'clock at night, where would you rather be? Would you rather be at a law firm looking at an 80-page contract, or would you rather be analyzing a script, writing a script, going to a networking event, and that those kinds of things? So I guess a lot of it does come down to, do you like the day-to-day, and it not just, you know, not just being concerned with the end product or being in front of the camera?
Absolutely, and the sports analogy couldn't be more on point. And because I know you're in the Baltimore area, I'll make a Ray Lewis analogy. Like Ray Lewis did not get to where he is because he runs out on the field and does a dance every week. He got there because he worked really hard in that weight room. He's working on his stamina. He's eating right. He's doing all of these things that aren't glamorous, but that's what got him to be the best at what he does and what has kept him on the field for so many years. And that's what you have to be committed to. You can't be just committed to the spotlight. And if you're committed to all of that really hard, thankless work that goes into it, then you're in the right place.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's talk about your goals for 2013. What's, by the end of this year, man, what's some of your goals that you want to have accomplished?
It's funny. I don't usually do New Year's resolutions, and I wouldn't say that I've done them this year, but I have taken a step back and thought about, you know, where I want to go in the next year, next couple of years. I think, you know, as you know, the acting universe is sort of divided up into tiers. You have your A-list actors, your B-list actors, on down the line. I'd say when I got to L.A., I was solidly in the Z-list. And, you know, I feel like in the last year and a half, I've worked my way into the P's, maybe the M's. You know, I might be an M-lister somewhere. You know, this year, I wanna march that up to maybe the H's. You know, I'm not going to make the C-list this year, but you know, it's slow and steady progress. And, I think this retcon series is one thing that will help raise my profile. Another thing, you know, L.A. is definitely about relationships. I want to continue to develop the solid network of friends that I have in the industry that have worked with me, that can vouch for my ability, my work ethic, the fact that I'm not crazy, which, you know, which almost comes before other stuff, because until you get on set with someone, you honestly don't know how they're going to behave. And I have seen it too many times to dismiss it, where someone is a completely different person once they're on set. And that's where the personal reference comes in. Like, people want to know, is this person good to work with when the cameras are rolling? And if someone you know, can vouch for you on that. It goes a long way towards you getting work and getting continued work. So continuing to build my network that way. The other big thing is I want to get a manager. I've had an agent here for a while, but I'd like to get a solid manager who can help, you know, guide the next few years of my career and help me take those, you know, broader brush steps toward success.
That sounds like a pretty good plan. So we have about four or five good minutes left. So
okay.
I want you to talk a little bit about the best day you've had on the set since you've been out to L.A., and if you care to share it with us, one of your more interesting days on the set, maybe not so great, and then just have you wrap up and put out all your publicity out there about all your different projects, websites, Twitters, and all that stuff.
Okay. So I'll start with the best day on set. By far, my best day on set so far was I was shooting a commercial. I can't say what it was for, but it was a soldier role, and I'm standing there with an AK-47 in my hand firing blanks on full automatic. I went through about 30 rounds in maybe 3 seconds. It was ridiculous. It was so fun.
Cool.
That was hands down the best experience so far. Probably the worst experience, and this, you know, it's not a dig on anyone. I was on a shoot a couple of weeks ago, and we got shut down because the permits that they had weren't correct. We had a cop stop by and check the permits, and something was wrong with it. And, you know, that officer decided not to be lenient that day and made us shut everything down halfway through the production. And, you know, that's obviously disappointing for me, but even more so I felt bad for the director and the producers who had set everything up and, you know, spent a lot of money to have us all there only to have it shut down, you know, on a technicality, on a permit. So that was a pretty big bummer.
Mm. Yeah, that happens.
Yeah. But,
okay,
you know,
man, so put your publicity out there.
Where's that? Well, okay, so I'll start with the Shut Your Mouth. Like I said earlier, it's on Facebook at facebook.com/SYMouth. You can see some of those behind-the-scenes stills. That's where we'll be posting the episodes in the next few weeks. Retcon, the new series that I'm starting, you can find them on Facebook at facebook.com/WatchRetcon. They're on Twitter at WatchRetcon, and that's Retcon is RETCON. How I Met Your Mother, that, like I said, will be on the Monday after the Super Bowl, and everyone knows where to find that. Me personally, you can find me on Twitter at TheGabrielVoss, on Facebook at facebook.com/GabrielVossActor, and all of that you can get to from my website, GabrielVoss.com. I should give one more shout-out to a movie I did 3 years ago, Bright Lights and Promises, that has finally been released on DVD. And you can get that, you can buy the DVD at brightlightsandpromises.com.
All right, Gabriel, man, it was great to have you on the show again. I don't even know if I'll be able to talk to you next time, man. You keep saying I can't discuss it. It's a non-disclosure agreement. I can't go into detail. It's... Give me, you know, half the story here. I don't know. The next time I'm like, you call in, you might be a movie star. Who knows, man? I don't.
I won't be able to give you any specifics. It'll be like a redacted FBI document. But, you know, I'm happy to come on the show again. I always love talking to you.
Okay, man. It'd be great to have you on again, man. Well, thanks for coming on to the show, man.
Sure.
Take care, man. Take it easy. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And I want to tell all my listeners out there to remember that willing is not enough. We must do. Have a great night.
te ahogas ahí mismo, una piedra en el mar. Los tiempos van cambiando.